In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last week we celebrated Jesus' ascension to the right hand of God the Father to reign over all creation. Before he ascended, Jesus told his disciples to stay in the city until they are clothed with power from on high. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. Soon the Holy Spirit will come upon the disciples in a very powerful public way. 40 days earlier, on the evening of the day of his resurrection, Jesus bestowed his Spirit on his disciples in a quiet, private way. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." On Pentecost, 10 days after Jesus' ascension, the Spirit comes to the disciples in wind and fire. Who is the Holy Spirit? What do we know about it? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, co-equal with God the Father and God the Son, and yet he is the person of the Trinity that we hear the least about. We hear the least about him because the Holy Spirit is not about promoting the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit points you to Jesus, your Savior, the Lamb of God, sacrificed for you on the cross at Calvary. Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the breath of God. The word for Spirit in Hebrew is ruach, and in Greek, pneumatos. Both these words mean spirit, wind, breath. In English, we have similar words with pneumatos and similar roots, like pneumatic or pneumonia. They have to do with air and breath. Even in our word respiration, the root of that word is the same root as we get the word spirit from. The Holy Spirit is the breath of God, and the Holy Spirit dwells in you. St. Paul explains this when warning against sexual immorality in 1 Corinthians 6. He says, "But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." As a baptized child of God, you are one spirit with Jesus. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. The breath of God gives you faith to know that your sins are forgiven through Jesus. You no longer belong to yourself. You have been purchased and won by Christ. You are in the kingdom of God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit's presence is not something that you're even aware of most of the time. Sort of like breathing itself. You don't really notice you're breathing unless you just ran up a couple flights of stairs or have a stuffy nose or some other breathing issue. You have been born again in water and the Spirit, and yet you don't feel the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Spirit doesn't shout out his existence. You don't know the Spirit is present except from the result. The Spirit is the breath of faith. You can feel it when in the depths of darkness you remain in Christ. You have faith. You know Jesus is your Savior. You know your sins are forgiven. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Faith can be a struggle because we are so tempted to want to make faith about something that we can do, something about us. We want it to be about our strength, our determination, our perseverance. We want to tightly hold on to the gifts of God so that we can control them. But it's all a gift. You do not firmly grasp God's gift in your closed fist. Rather, you hold the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation in an open hand. Through the Holy Spirit, you have faith that Jesus is your Savior. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Through the Holy Spirit, you know that Jesus is Lord, and that through Jesus you have access and knowledge of God the Father. Jesus teaches in John 15, But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. The disciples are given the task to bear witness about what they have seen. And this is clearly shown on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit comes in wind and tongues of flame. But what does the Spirit empower the disciples to do? The Spirit empowers them to preach and teach about Jesus, about Christ crucified and risen from the dead for the forgiveness of sins. On that Pentecost day, when the disciples receive the Holy Spirit and begin preaching and teaching in many different languages, there are those who speak against them. What's going on here? What's all this teaching in different languages? What's all this talk about Jesus? These men must be drunk. Peter denies that and preaches about Jesus. Peter preaches repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. The work of the Holy Spirit in the church does not fit into our rational categories in life. There are so many today that think what Christians do is just foolishness. How ridiculous. What a waste of time to gather together each week. The pastor declares your sins are forgiven, but what's that? It's just words. They splash some water on a baby's head and think something happens, but it's just water. It's just words. They eat a little cracker and take a sip of wine and think that makes everything okay with God, but it's just bread, it's just wine, it's just words. Without the Holy Spirit, Christianity is just foolishness. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. With the Holy Spirit, the truth of Christianity is the most important thing in all creation. It is the source of forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life with God. Lately, there has been a great temptation for the church to give up preaching the law and gospel and instead try to meet people where they are, try to adjust the church to fit into the new realities. There's tremendous pressure to give up the authority of the Word of God and to just follow your feelings. There is great pressure to conform to this new way. But this would have the church cease to be the church. The church trusts the Holy Spirit. We trust the Holy Spirit to work. We proclaim the word of the cross. We continue the work of the apostles, preaching and teaching God's law and God's gospel, confessing and forgiving, baptizing and receiving the Lord's Supper. You have received the Spirit of God in your baptism. And over again in God's Word and in the Lord's Supper. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God, the breath of God, dwells in you and gives you faith to know you are a forgiven child of God. Hold these gifts in an open hand and live your identity in Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.